Welcome back to State of Affairs. I'm Julie Credens. Dealing with job loss is our topic this hour. We're talking with therapist Pat Geyer and management consultant Brayton Bowen. Are you worried about losing your job? What have been your experiences with job loss or in searching for a new one? It's your turn to join the conversation now at 814-8255, 814-TALK, or again, reach us toll-free at 1-877-814-TALK. I want to go right to the phones now, and first of all, welcome Andrew to the program. Andrew, you've experienced a layoff recently.
Yes, just within the past year. Mm-hmm. The comment that I wanted to make was that one of the things that I found the most difficult to take was not the loss of the job, and that was difficult, but the preparing for what was to come next, but it was the interpersonal way that the company handled it and how that's probably the most salient feature most people have to deal with. In terms of the interpersonal dynamic that goes on there.
And your experience was a negative one?
Fairly negative is that it was a small company, and we had presumed a sort of a familial relationship, and then at the point in which they had to make difficult decisions, they opted for a very corporate approach to it, and it was a depersonalization that wasn't very, very comfortable.
Understand.
That was it, and I just wanted to get your comments from anybody else that might have something like that.
Well, they're very good comments, and in two respects, there was he mentions the familial feeling, and in essence, regardless of how they feel about you personally, you're being kicked out of the family. Is how it is in some cases, I would guess. How do you cope with losing your family, your work family?
Andrew mentioned a dynamic that I think is too often part of a job termination, and that is both the hostile way in which terminations happen and the sense on the part of the employee of real betrayal and violation, that one day you're part of the family, you're included, things are expected of you, and the next day you're persona non grata. I think this can be part of the most difficult emotional aspects of how to cope with job loss.
What are some strategies, Brayton Bowen, we have heard of scenarios, and Andrew, I don't know if this fits yours exactly, but where the employee is notified that they're to be terminated, laid off, and then they're sort of ushered out of the building maybe an hour later. What is the proper, you're laughing, Andrew, is that similar?
Painfully laughing, I think, is part of the component. It's very weird, especially for especially for maybe the human resource person that's put in charge of that particular duty, and they're aghast that they're being asked to do it in the first place. So it's a weird set of emotions that go along with that, I think.
Brayton, what is the proper behavior when this kind of situation happens? It's handled in that way, I guess.
First of all, it's very important in terms of how the employer separates an employee. And some companies and some individuals, frankly, just don't do it well. Life is sort of like a series of marriages and divorces. And, there's always a coming together. And at some point in time, there's some kind of separation, either through death or before then, as the case may be. So I think it's really important for us as individuals to recognize that change is going to occur, that there will be a day of loss, and we just have to prepare for the impermanence. I can't help but think in terms of what we've all been through since September 11. It used to be that I would never look up in the sky to question whether a plane overhead was going to be jeopardizing my life, my safety in some way. And yet today I do. And to people in the workplace, I say, look, do keep your gaze above the trees. Be mindful of the fact that change can come. And some people don't do it well. They may try to shame you. They may try to blame you. They may try to make you feel like failed goods. And that's really unfortunate, really unfortunate. But for the individual who's going through this, just understand that you can rise above it and you can behave in a way that's different.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask one more small question and then I'll be gone?
Sure.
In terms of specifically how a company is tries to handle these types of leavings, What's the procedure or what's the best way for them to allow the employee to get some sort of closure, especially with the people that he's been friends with and coworkers and all the rest of that?
Yeah, Pat Geyer is going to address that.
Andrew, tell me if I'm not addressing what you're asking, but for the employee to get some closure, that's going to take some time, I think, particularly if either the job termination is sudden or has been handled in a hostile manner. And I think it's very reasonable to expect yourself to go through a variety of feelings, not unlike going through any other kind of loss, and that might include anger, fearfulness, a sense of betrayal, a sense of violation, and being able to talk through those feelings, recognize what you're feeling, talk through them with people who are close to you, get support, and recognize that it just takes time to walk through that, and all of those feelings are very, very much to be expected.
Okay, well, thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you for calling, Andrew. It was a great, great call and good comments. Brayton, you had something to add.
Andrew's comments and Pat's triggered another thought, and that is, if it's any consolation, Andrew may be going through the experience today, or any one of us could be going through the experience today, but at some point in time after we have left the last job, there is life after the last job. It is surprising how many people from the old organization will contact the Andrews in the new organization because they're concerned about how to make a transition. They don't necessarily want to burn a bridge if there's a potential resource out there. And that's why I said at the beginning, it's really important to maintain names, especially of people who have left the organization, because in the future, you may need a friend. And it may be Andrew, it may be me, it may be somebody else.
Andrew, thanks again for the call. Our conversation today is on dealing with job loss. You can join our conversation, 814-8255. 814-TALK is the number to call if you want to share a story about maybe a layoff experience you've had or someone you know, someone in your family. When we talk about the stages of grief, it is anger, denial, all of these, and I've heard that for many people, losing a job is very comparable to those stages of grief. And Pat, you'd mentioned to Andrew just a few minutes ago, anger, sadness. How do you see the two comparing, that emotional journey, I suppose?
Well, all loss bears similar characteristics. And it doesn't even have to be the magnitude of a loss like a job. But certainly when people do lose their jobs, because as we talked about before, our work is such a part of our identity and our social role and the structure of our day, people predictably go through stages. Sometimes denial is a part of that. They can't really believe it's happening. Shock in the event of a sudden termination. Anger, because so often terminations are handled poorly, really poorly. Mm-hmm. And then lots of feelings of betrayal. Often people get very depressed in the aftermath of a job loss. There's always anxiety present because people are scrambling. Anxiety is not necessarily a bad thing, but it helps people to prepare themselves to get ready for what's ahead. But when anxiety or depression become overwhelming, then you may be talking about a different set of characteristics to deal with. And at those points, people often do seek professional counseling. So all of these things are a part of any significant loss in our lives. And if you think about it, and it helps people sometimes, I ask people in therapy, can you recall another loss that you have gotten through where you've had similar feelings? And how did you get through it? Because we've all survived losses.
814-8255. 814-TALK is the number to call. And we welcome Joe to the conversation now. Hello, Joe.
Good afternoon. Just one comment. And hello, your guest. I appreciate you all talking about the importance of take care of your well-being. I've, whether this works or not, I've been self-employed 20 years, a one-man operation. I moved from job to job, lasting anywhere from a week to 3 months. But believe it or not, I have those moments towards the end of a job where anxiety or depression slips in. And I noticed just in the last 10 years as I age how important it is for proper rest, diet, And I might suggest that some of these folks that go through job loss, you know, try to talk to friends or people that are in small businesses or, you know, their trade is such that it does move around, and just ask how they cope with it. But if I'm not taking extremely good care of my diet and my rest, it's a scary thing. In fact, I'm finishing up a job today. I've been here for 2.5 months, and even though I've been doing this 20 years, I have some fear and some anxiety about the next job I'll start in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd just throw that out, and thanks for your time.
Very good, Joe. Thanks so much. You know, to take care of yourself, Brayton, you mentioned early on, and structure, routine, these things are all important. What else can we do?
Well, I'm delighted to hear Joe's comments because, first of all, Joe, you should be here. You are here. I think that his example is essentially a model for everyone. We get deluded when we are working for a company by thinking that that's a permanent home and that we're going to stay there and we'll advance somehow in our career by staying there. My counsel has been pretty much to think of career and the work environment as Joe has reported it. We go from assignment to assignment, and there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. All change is loss. Whether you are a consultant, whether you are a business advisor, whether you're a social worker, whether you're an attorney, these are people from different professions who deal with job loss every day. I finish an assignment and I feel a tremendous amount of letdown, particularly the more emotionally invested I am in the assignment and working with a client or in some cases grieving with people in an organization because they're going through a change process, and I'm there to help them get through. And then when the assignment, quote unquote, is over, I feel as much a loss leaving that community, but I always learn so much. And just like Joe suggests, you kind of have to ramp up for the next one and recognize that there are many assignments in our life that we will do.
Right. I'm going to bring our next listener into our conversation, and it's another Joe. Hi, Joe. You're on State of Affairs.
Yes, I've been through the experience three times, twice in downsizing and once in a plant closure. The first was definitely the worst, not only from the aspect of being the first time and being unexpected, but it was handled so poorly. There were rumors going around, and this was in the early 70s. There were rumors going around that, you know, business is slow and there's going to be a layoff, and I was in the process of having one house for sale and getting ready to buy another one with a contract on the other one. And so I just went to the vice president, who was my boss's boss, because my boss was out of town. He said, don't worry about it. So I go, I close on the house at 10 o'clock in the morning. Don't even take time to have a cup of coffee with my wife afterwards, go back to work, and am told that I do not have a job.
Oh,
I now own two houses and no job. And it was, you know, just extremely poorly done. The second one was, you know, you sort of expect it because you see the signs on the horizon, you know what's coming. I was already looking at becoming self-employed myself, and it really wound up being a good situation for me because I was able to come out of it better financially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that first time, I mean, that was the definite textbook case of how not to.
Absolutely. Sort of, and I'm Joe, I'm sure you're not alone. How many employees have probably been told, no, don't worry about it, everything's fine, buy your car, buy your house. And Brayton, there has to be a feeling of certainly being deceived or betrayed in cases like that.
Definitely. And before we came on air, Pat and I have talked about the company that is in the news, Enron. And any number of people have seen retirement portfolios virtually evaporate, from Lucent Technologies to Enron to Vencor, et cetera, you just name it. And all to say that and this is a hard truth, but each of us needs to plan as if there is no tomorrow. Each of us needs to manage our own resources as if we are a micro company. And oftentimes, if we are in a job loss situation, it's just like dealing with a turnaround situation in business. You have to conserve your resources. You have to throw out the ballast and make sure that you're not tied up with extra debt, extra houses, etc., because you're going to have to be able to move fast when it comes.
Joe, thanks very much for sharing those stories with us, and good luck to you.
Right.
And right over now to John, who also has an experience of being laid off. Yes? John?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just recently in the last year, I got a job at a railroad company locally here. And first I went to school and paid $6,000 of my own dollars to go to their school. And then 3 months later, I'm laid off. And the thing that really upset me was I hear people talking about how, you know, they feel like it was poorly done. The thing that really upset me the most was that I come from a very union-oriented family, the electrical union here in town, and I was excited to actually be able to be a union employee. And then I was going to join one of the oldest unions in the United States. And then when I get laid off, I feel like, you know, I'm at a company that has 35,000 employees, and I'm a member of one of the oldest unions in the United States. But when I'm laid off, I hear no information from the company. I hear no call-ups from any of the union employees or any of the union leaders. And it just reminds me that the mismanagement that would cause a layoff also follows right in there with the union, of the mismanagement of the union to be able to handle the employees that it has, to keep them informed of what's going to happen. And it's unfortunate that these layoffs are happening because of the economy and because of September 11th and everything. But it's really taught me a lesson of kind of what he just said, that you kind of have to be on your toes because you never know what's going to happen the next day. I feel like I'm working 40 jobs all at once now, so it's really crazy. But and I plan to go back and hopefully become more involved in the union so that I can help people in the future when this happens to them, to keep them informed and let them know what's going on, because if you don't know what's going on, then those things of fear and anxiety happen. But
John, you know. That's a good point. Thanks for bringing that up today.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Good to hear from you. And we do need to go to a break, but just real quickly, he had mentioned about employees being informed. Brayton Bowen, is there generally reluctance for employers to let their employees know, hey, we're headed for some rough seas? Do they figure no news is good news, and can that be damaging?
I think there is a reluctance on the part of employers in any number of situations to tell it like it is, and that's a major mistake, both in terms of how it disrespects the people, and it's a major mistake for the company because it encourages people to be dependent and inflexible when absolutely the opposite is what's needed.
We are going to take another short break. When we come back, more on dealing with job loss. Do you cope with the fear of losing your job? Or perhaps you have some advice for those who've been laid off. We'd like to hear from you today.